the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Downloading a lot of secrets to my iPhone now that I know it's so secure. I had no idea. I thought you could hack anything. Apparently, the FBI cannot hack the iPhone.
Well, I guess that's good news.
Yeah.
Although, I see... That's only partially true, though, I think, isn't it?
Because they got to some of the information already, and quite a bit of it. They just want to get everything.
It can't get to your pictures and notes and things that you've written on your iPhone that you have not transmitted from your iPhone.
Or saved to the cloud.
Right. Because once you save something to the cloud,
well, I mean,
that's like
happens.
Everybody looking at it. And when Trump's president, he's going to make sure that every one of your secrets gets out if you don't like him.
But not his secrets.
Right. Oh, dear
it's
God.
It's the world we may be living in soon.
I know.
Do you ever think, Ro, that because you were Trump for Halloween, you created the monster?
Ooh.
Oh, Sammy.
He started the momentum.
Oh, Sammy, thank you for blaming me for the end of civilization as we know it.
Just thinking out loud.
You just keep thinking, Butch. That's what you're good at.
All right.
You just keep doing that. All right, here we go. This is the more important thing that, despite what just happened there, this is it.
The top five at five on the Rokan Show, brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Home improvement at true outlet prices of 40 to 60% off.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
Yeah. Checking in at
number five.
Former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich blamed the trio of Fox and Friends hosts for inventing Donald Trump.
It's their fault, not Ro's fault. See, Sammy?
Who is currently wreaking havoc in the Republican Party.
Donald Trump from day one made himself available to big and small.
Plus, he's invented scenarios where suddenly he's got all this free media.
Look, you could say that Trump is the candidate Fox and Friends invented. He was on your show, I think, more than any other show.
It was always a
happy, positive conversation.
Yeah.
He just kept going around the country. And this is one of his great advantages. He loves what he's currently doing. And he is having a ball. That gives him more energy.
Yeah.
And the fact that he can get on his plane to go back home, to get up in the morning, get back on his plane, a pretty comfortable life for a presidential candidate.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
He does get tons of free advertising. I mean, think about it.
Well, listen, we invented this monster. We talk about him endlessly. But the problem is that I don't think that we are to be blamed for discussing the bright, shiny object that keeps doing crazy things that are unheard of. He keeps committing news.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about what he's doing. He knows that if he says something outrageous or does something outrageous, you can't help but cover him because he's a presidential candidate.
Well, and I think we have to give voters credit. I mean, just covering his latest insults or whatever's going on that's making news and causing people to talk doesn't mean that ultimately you get in the minds of a voter. I mean, voters are smart. They can make up their own minds, and they see him for who he is. I think this will happen. I mean, I think people, before they go in to actually vote on Election Day, I think people do understand the seriousness of that choice. I believe that.
Well,
Rokan, I do.
35% of those in South Carolina didn't. And
it's not there yet. I mean, I we'll see. We'll see.
To call the voters, you know, is – I don't want to blame voters here. People make their choice, right? They have a right to make whatever choice they want to make. And we have a right to judge whatever choice they make. However, I think the real issue here is that it's that 35% of the voters in South Carolina who in the Republican primary who chose to go with him are doing it because, you know, and there's been so much analysis. I love this over the last couple of days, if you read the, especially the national press, right?
Sure.
You read the big, you know, the big national sites, and people are like, well, you know, we're trying to understand, well, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Why are people not seeing? What are people seeing that we're not seeing, or that why aren't they seeing what we're seeing? You know, there is that question that's being asked.
There's a bit of a divide between the media, who has been as a whole sort of cynical and negative about some of Trump's maneuvers, and then people who say, well, we want to stick up for him because overall we still like what he has to say. He's an anti-establishment kind of guy, and He's a businessman. He knows how to make decisions.
And even though he's flawed and he says things they don't all agree with, he's the kind of guy we want. It really is a cult of personality.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people that follow Barack Obama for the same reason. You know, I think Barack Obama got a lot of conferred benefit in 2008 from the fact that people liked him. They didn't necessarily agree with his politics. They didn't necessarily agree with his
resume necessarily. Maybe wasn't as built up as strongly as others who have ascended to that office. But you believed in him.
But there was
a person.
Right. There's this culture, and people, you know, I guess it's a different voter set, but it would be the same argument. But I would strongly advise that the data that you're getting, I mean, Barack Obama at least sounded like a presidential candidate. He was saying things. He had answers. Sometimes they were overly wonky, but he had answers to questions, and he wasn't threatening other people around him. that's the thing that I don't get. I mean, he just basically today. Donald Trump threatened the Ricketts family. Now, the Ricketts family from Omaha, and they have, you know, the extension of the Ricketts family here, Tom Ricketts and Todd Ricketts, the people that own, and their sister, that own the Chicago Cubs,
mm-hmm.
are they're a fine, upstanding family. Joe Ricketts, the patriarch of the family, is a big time, that's the Ameritrade, that's the company Ameritrade.
Mm-hmm.
He's a billionaire from Omaha. Very conservative, super conservative guy. And he donated a bunch of money to a conservative political action committee, which is running anti-Trump ads. And Trump literally went out today and said, hey, Ricketts family, look out. You know, you're spending money against me. I know things about you.
Yeah, he tweeted out to his millions of followers, I hear the Ricketts family who own the Chicago Cubs are secretly spending money against me. They better be careful. They have a lot to hide.
Best part is he spelled Ricketts wrong.
I did see that. There's an extra T that needed to be in there, but spelling is not the forte there on these Donald Trump tweets.
Oh, he's saving a character is what he was doing.
Yeah, right. He's 139.
He couldn't get his threats in the proper amount of characters, so he had to work it out that way. All right. Okay, but wait, hold on. Speaking of all of this.
Number four.
Donald Trump tweeted out over the weekend that the president maybe would have gone to the funeral for Antonin Scalia were it held in a mosque. Joe Scarborough, who has been rumored to be a Trump vice presidential candidate if mm-hmm. Trump makes it, took him to task this morning on Morning Joe.
I thought it was ironic after you said nobody should judge a man's faith that you put up a tweet suggesting that Barack Obama would have attended Scalia's funeral if it were held in a mosque, thereby, I think, questioning Barack Obama's faith.
I didn't say he would. I did that in fun, asking as a question mark, because I think the president should have been at Scalia's funeral.
And Trump is saying that it was all a joke, just a little joke, just funny, ha-ha.
And I think it's inappropriate that he wasn't. I mean, you're talking about one of the great men of the last 30 years. Amazing, whether you like his viewpoints or not, and Supreme Court Justice. And I thought that it was inappropriate that I don't know where the president was. He wasn't very far away. Maybe he was playing golf.
Right.
Oh, that's right. It was Saturday. He's playing golf. I forgot about that.
Trump, when president, will never play golf, by the way, I'm sure.
The president says he's a Christian. He says he's accepted Jesus Christ as his savior. Do you take him at his word that he is a Christian?
Yes. Sure.
Okay, John Heilman.
I take him at his word. But that was done as a joke. Listen, that was done with a little humor. And I said, I wonder if he would have attended if it was a mosque instead of a church. That was done with humor. But if he says he's a Christian, I take him at his word.
But the problem with that is think of your stage
mm-hmm.
and you have to write your jokes for your stage, right? You're sitting around
sure.
a bar with somebody
mm-hmm.
and you say it, they go, oh yeah, a bunch of guys laugh. You're sitting around at the United Center at a concert and you say it like you're on stage for the concert. And you might go, maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. You're running for president of the United States. And then you say it, it comes off as anti-Muslim. It comes off as bigoted,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it comes off as something like, hey, look at this guy.
Right.
You know, and it's, I don't.
He has 6 million followers. So when he sends that out and he keeps talking about it and doubles down on it, I don't know. Is it a joke?
6 million followers that will result in 100 million impressions by the week, the time the weekend is over.
Sure.
Because it'll get repeated over and over and over.
Every
and over
one
again.
Of his tweets, too. This is the reality, Rob. This is where
all right, fine. Checking in at
number three.
Top 5-5. Whitewash could be playing on a screen near you. That's according to a study out today at USC's Annenberg School of Communications and Journalism. Researchers have examined the film and TV industries and found that they underrepresent women, minorities, and people in the LGBT community. So director Dr. Stacey Smith says audiences are cultivated from a very young age to have a tilted view of the universe.
What they see in the media does not represent what happens in this country. 50% of the individuals in this country are women. 38% are from underrepresented groups. That's not what you see on TV. We see a predominant pattern. Where the power is, that's where you find men. And on screen, it's typically white men. Our study makes it really clear. Hollywood is a straight white boys club.
She hadn't been to Hollywood then.
Well, she's saying is that as it gets more into positions where you have more power, you heard her there. She said that it tends to be a what'd you call it, a white boys
straight
club? Straight white
boys club. Again, hadn't been to Hollywood. All right, checking in at
number two.
I'd like to introduce her to Barry Diller. NBC's Last Night aired an all-star tribute to veteran sitcom director James Burrows. His cast from several sitcoms he worked on were reunited, including the cast of Friends. Now, this was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I watched this because this was supposedly the Friends reunion.
Yeah, they got so much buzz. Everyone I know is a Friends fan was like, oh, I got to watch this.
Yeah, well, it
didn't deliver?
No, it did not. Now, James Burrows is amazingly, amazingly talented. He's directed over 1,000 sitcom episodes, all the way from Mary Tyler Moore to Taxi, which was basically his show, to doing the Friends first season, the pilot to get that thing launched, and Will and Grace, and all kinds of great stuff. 2.5 Men.
I love Will and Grace.
I mean, it just everything that you could possibly imagine that was a hit on television, James Burrows touched in some way. But then it got weird, though, because they had this big Friends reunion everybody was waiting for, except Matthew Perry wasn't there.
Yeah.
Chandler was not there.
Yeah.
So he sent in this video introduction.
Hello, everyone. I wish I could be there tonight celebrating the incredible career of Jimmy Burrows with you, but I'm in London doing my play, The End of Longing. And now please welcome to the stage my friends who just happen to be the cast of Friends, Courtney Cox, David Schwimmer, Lisa Kudrow, Matt LeBlanc, and Jennifer Aniston.
What's wrong with that?
It was, if you saw it, part of his face didn't move.
Oh.
And he was reading it off of a cue card.
How sincere.
Yes.
Which these are people he spent like a majority of his life with, right? A big portion.
I can't remember their names. It was the weirdest thing.
So did they get along? I mean, I suppose like they all like each other. When they were on the couch?
When they were on the... Well, no, they seemed to not get along on the couch, which is really weird. Andy Cohen, right?
I really like. I enjoy the way he interviews. He makes it fun.
Andy Cohen was hosting, and he was asking these questions of the Friends cast.
Did you all sign contracts saying that you wouldn't sleep with each other? There's so many rumors
that was
about the show.
I was not asked to sign anything like that.
You were not asked to sign anything.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was weird.
Was that a reveal in some way?
That was a very weird situation right there.
Yeah. Apparently, Jennifer auditioned for Monica and Courtney auditioned for Rachel.
Yeah, that was the most interesting story of the night.
Was that it?
So that tells you everything you need to know about how interesting the night
was. And Jennifer cried a bit at some point, maybe. Yeah.
I'm not sure that happened.
She just got emotional.
She might have just sneezed. I'm not sure. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Sir, I think you should listen to this.
This better not be another Russian spy job.
Boys from air traffic res say the skies are clear.
It's the real thing. A radio signal from another world.
That's life in chess. First, they're positioning their pieces, using this one signal to synchronize their efforts.
And then what?
Checkmate.
Remember Independence Day? Right?
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden they started hearing weird things in the universe, sounds in the universe, and the next thing you know, we're surrounded by all those things, and Will Smith has to punch an alien in the face? Remember that?
Great movie.
Well, could that be happening?
Why do we think that's happening?
In an upcoming episode of Science Channel's NASA's Unexplained Files, audio from Apollo 10, which flew to the far side of the moon in 1969, 2 months before Apollo 11's moon landing, reveals conversations among the astronauts that they were hearing odd sounds from the cosmos on their instruments.
It used to keep a sound out of Spacey, didn't it? Do you hear that? That whistling sound?
Oh, my gosh. Did you hear that sound?
That's
so creepy.
There's something out there.
I mean, and they're remarking on it, right? Because they're kind of freaked out.
Yeah.
And then that double freaks me out because they know everything that it possibly could have been in space, you would think.
Well, they're thinking about everything it could possibly be in space, and that freaks me out. This is a freak out upon a freak out.
I would love to know when you heard this news how you reacted.
I did not react well. Trust me, I've calmed myself down since I first heard it. That they've been hiding this information from
us. Yeah, but why did it stay secret? Even more creepy. I mean, just layers of creepiness.
Okay.
I mean, why would they keep this a secret?
It's the late 1960s. They heard some sound on the far side of the moon.
What's wrong with that? What could possibly have happened wrong?
That's the premise of 2001: A Space Odyssey, which, by the way, if you watch that movie, you don't understand what's going on. It's okay. Nobody understands what's going on in that movie. Stanley Kubrick directed it. He didn't understand what was going on in that movie. All you know, though, is that they've got this big monolith, that big black monolith that was buried on the moon making a noise. And that's what it sounded like, by the way.
Well, they said the astronauts, you know, they kind of said it just maybe it's just something from outer space. Who's going to believe it? And then they said, shall we tell them about it? And they never talked about it publicly, ever, ever.
Should we tell them about it? The answer to that is yes.
Yeah, yes. We need to know these things.
Yeah, one would think.
The top five at five.